Oh, hello. The mic's on. Hi, everybody. It's Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Granola is hot right now. It's a healthful snack that can be enjoyed in many ways, with milk, with yogurt, with fruit, by itself, loose like cereal, or in bar form. It's particularly good for digestion, they tell me, especially if you put flax in it. The term granola was a trademark in the United States in the late 19th century and referred to whole grain products that were crumbled and baked until crisp. The unbaked version of granola is usually called muesli. Granola was pretty popular in the 1960s among the hippie set, don't you know, if you remember, and has experienced a resurgence in popularity in the 21st century. Sandro Gerbini, founder of Gatherer's Granola, and Paul and Caroline Barrett, founders of Our Daily Eats, are both popular local makers and purveyors of granola, and they're here to talk with you about granola. You want to give us a call? This is the time to get in line. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Now, you can also post your comments on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. There's a spot to comment there. You could comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet us at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag VoxPop. Or you can email us at VoxPop@WAMC.org. But once again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. Sandro, Caroline, Paul, nice to have you all here.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you for having us, Ray.
All right, so we have some experts on granola here, and I am not an expert on granola. So granola is defined as something that contains oats?
Typically rolled oats.
Yep.
Something like nuts, fruit, sugar.
Yeah.
Some kind of oil holds it all together. And we like to add salt for balance. Well, so those things together.
You know, when I grew up in the 70s, so I think of the mass marketed granola. Mm. But the granola that you both provide, both Gatherer's Granola and Our Daily Eats for our fun drives, obviously several cuts above that, and also very much more interesting, a blend of flavors, and we'll get into that a little bit. But first, I want to know how you ended up doing this, and we'll start with Paul and Caroline.
So, Ray, after the birth of our third child, I was working a full-time job. Caroline wanted to go back to work, but didn't want to go back to work.
I dig it.
Yes.
Have you thought about radio?
And basically, Caroline's a phenomenal cook, not only in our production facility, but more importantly, you know, in the kitchen in general, has a great sense of flavor profiles and using of spices, different ethnic blends, etc. Had always done these particular nuts. We started out actually doing nuts and seeds prior to doing granolas, actually.
At home?
At home. Hmm. And basically, we decided that instead of going back to work, she was going to set up a table at the local farmer's market. We went and spent $500, bought some product, printed some labels off of our computer with some twist-tie bags, and started up at the Troy Farmer's Market, and it kind of grew from there.
That can be a risk, though, starting from scratch on a business like that. I guess maybe the farmer's market is a nice way to ease into it, but now you have a full production facility, right?
We do. We do. Well, and when we started, Paul was working full-time. It was, you know, it was a side piece for us.
Well, it's worked out well for you. Sandro Gerbini of Gatherer's Granola, what's your story? How did you get involved with this?
Granola kind of found me. I started off really not being a fan of granola at all, and I think it's primarily because most granola that you can buy on store shelves, it's really not very good. And I had been receiving from my mom a care package of granola when I was in college.
Yeah.
It was this flavor right here, Chipmunk's Choice. It's peanut butter, almond, and maple syrup.
Ooh.
And I knew it was really tasty. Obviously, I had tasted it myself. And
I'll
all
be
of my
the judge of that.
Sure, let me know. So all of my friends were voraciously eating it before I could even get my hands on it in most cases. So I'd have labeled jars with their names on it, and it always deplete itself without you actually eating it. So I knew I had a product that was really tasty, but I had no anticipation or no intention to create a company about it. But I found myself at a farmer's market in Del Mar on the weekends selling some of my family's recipes, Lebanese style. And on a whim, I introduced my mom's granola just to see how people liked it. I knew it was tasty, but again, no intention of going anywhere with it. And within a couple of weeks, it was my best-selling item, and my customers effectively strong-armed me into creating a company around it.
Wow.
I said, bring this to the local co-ops, get in there, and make this full-time, because It's fantastic.
Well, I just tried the Chipmunk's Choice, and it is fantastic.
Thanks.
It really is good. So you both really started selling in Del Mar.
Correct.
Del Mar is where all the granola is sold nowadays. Back in the old days, not so much. But nowadays, yes. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. All right. I've tried some of Sandro's. Let's try one from Paul and Caroline. And what is this? This is Maple Crunch Granola. All right. Crunchy and nutty.
It is. So it's our best-selling granola. It's kind of loaded with...
I'm going to clear my palate.
That's okay. It's loaded with almonds, cashews, pepitas. We use pure olive oil in all of our granolas. This one does not have any dried fruit in it, but it's really kind of taken off for us. And, you know, it's one of those things that you you never really know what the customers kind of glean onto. But for some reason, this seems to be the one that that's really taken off for them.
Well, that is really tasty, really tasty, nutty and very good. So the skill in making these blends, A, would be finding the right taste mixes that are good. But tell me about the roasting process. Is this like a coffee situation where if you roast it improperly, it's not good at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, and Sandro, I'm sure will attest to this, that we've all roasted thousands of batches, you know, and we've all had our bad batches that we've kind of looked at and just shaken our heads and just said, no, this isn't what's going to work. but it does take, you know, a lot of time, a lot of effort, paying attention to the production of the product. And I think one of the things that we continue to kind of grow on, and I'm sure, you know, Gatherers is dealing with the same thing, is as you grow, you have to figure out how to make that product the same time every time, you know.
As you increase your quantity in
your production facility. So that becomes a trick. And, you know, it's are you getting the same ingredients? Are you doing it the same way? Are you being affected by outside conditions such as humidity or other factors? Is your oven operating properly? So there's a lot of moving parts that go into it.
Is humidity a factor? Many times I'll speak with bakers. We did a show on pastries last week. Humidity is a tremendous factor in baking. Sure. Is it also a possible trouble for you?
In largely the opposite way of how it's influenced in bread, for example.
What do you mean?
In bread, you want to have a controlled, humid environment. In granola and other dry baked products, you want to have it as dry as possible. So effectively what we're doing, it's less baking more than controlled drying at fairly low temperatures. Most granola recipes are between 225 and maybe 315 degrees Fahrenheit. And
for how long?
Well, it depends on the flavor. So the higher the temperature, the less time it's in there, but also the more chance that you're going to overcook it, or if you're not stirring properly, over-toast one section of the granola. So for us, generally speaking, we're looking at a time frame between about 60 minutes and 95 to 100 minutes.
So you say stirring it. So are you putting it in some water or some kind of a fluid when you're heating it up?
No. Actually, what I was speaking about is during the baking cycle, if you're baking your granola properly, you are agitating the granola periodically while it's baking. So you're taking it out of the oven, you're stirring it by hand, and you're putting it back in. Otherwise, you have the burger effect. You're overcooking on top, overcooking on the bottom, and in the middle, it's not being cooked very much at all.
Which some people like, right?
It's fine if you're doing a granola bar, but it won't be homogenous. You're going to end up with something that's unevenly baked. Mm. And texture is gigantic because Caroline and Paul and I, we're all competing with companies that are very large. And they can outscale us on production costs. We will never have the economies of scale they do. But what we can beat them on is quality. And so what we have to be very careful of is to ensure that our texture is far better than theirs is, which is easy because they effectively don't stir.
At all.
Right.
Mm. So as your businesses grow, Gatherers Granola or our Daily Eats, how do you maintain that quality control and being able to really look at every batch and stir it and make sure that it's done properly? It's got to be a handful.
Well, we eat a lot of granola.
Okay.
And, I mean, we are very closely attached to the roasting process. And I'm sure that Sandro is too. I mean, we watch what happens in our shop every day. And we taste it. We trust the people that work for us because they care about it as much as we do. And if they didn't, it wouldn't work at all. So you really have to have people that know what they're doing.
So this is a passion.
It is a passion. I mean, you know, and going back to getting it the right texture, we're taking 12 ounces and putting it into a bag, and it goes through a machine. And so if it isn't cooked properly, it won't slide down the chute into the machine.
So that's one way to know.
That is one way to know.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Sandro Gerbini of Gatherer's Granola and Paul and Caroline Barrett of our Daily Eats. We talk granola. We'll talk some recipes coming up and try some more. It's Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC. We'll take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside Proctor's. Moving outside May 3rd, schenectadygreenmarket.org. The Carey Institute for Global Good, hosting a workshop on hops production and processing in partnership with Cornell Cooperative Extension on Saturday, 518-797-5100. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. And New England Auctions, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For 40 years, an international auction gallery offering fine art, books, maps, and antiques. 413-665-3253 for gallery and auction information.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Food Friday, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We talk granola today with Paul and Caroline Barrett of our Daily Eats and Sandro Gerbini of Gatherer's Granola. And Paul and Caroline, so this granola action that you have going now was actually preceded by nuts, and you started in that realm.
We did, and it seemed to be a natural progression for us. You know, we had nuts that we roasted with maple syrup and some different spices. And, you know, then I was making granola for my children at home. And then one day realized, well, you know, why am I not doing this for other people too? So.
And it's worked out for you.
It has.
All right. So you brought one bag of, Thai chili peanuts. I gotta say, I'm crazy about this concept. So I got to try one here real quick.
You know, Ray, I think the thing when we started out with the nuts and seeds really came from a place of Caroline's passion for food. You know, we could have started out, if you walk through the grocery store lines, you know, roasted, salted, raw, you know, some of the basic honey roasts, you know, that are out there. But it really became one of those things where we really believe in what we say, eating well every day. And so how do I, this great source of protein, how do I get that into my daily diet? Not just by snacking with it, but adding them into daily recipes. So could I take this Thai chili peanut, which has got kefir lime leaf from California.
It's amazing, by the way.
Chili peppers. It's got a little bit of maple syrup. You know, it's got that right blend, but not only do I want it as a snack, but can I throw it on my pad thai as I'm baking that at home, or maybe I go to the Thai place and get a little takeout and throw some on the top.
Not a bad idea.
So can our recipes transfer into, or can our products transfer into your daily cooking diets?
Well, what can you do with granola? It's granola. Can you add it to recipes?
Sure. Certainly.
Really?
Certainly. A lot more than simply adding it to milk or making a parfait with yogurt. You can do a great number of things. One of my personal favorites is a chicken satay with Chipmunk's Choice granola.
Really?
No, it's terrific. You effectively take the chicken, you marinate it in yogurt with some garam masala spices and garlic, and then you will roll it in a blend of mashed up Chipmunk's Choice before you throw it onto the grill. And it is really fantastic. Browns on the outside, and it has a nice, really an excellent texture. The oats stay crunchy, and the little bits of almond are fantastic on it, too.
Mm, not bad at all. Let's go to the phones. David in Troy. David, you're on.
Yes. Well, I was curious as to why you put sugar in. That negates a lot of the health benefits. So sugar is really not healthy for people to consume.
Well, I would love to answer that.
Oh.
I'm going to go ahead and hang up because I can hear you anyway.
All right, David. Thanks a lot.
So, well, our approach to granola and to eating, you know, all of our meals is that it's a balance. And so I believe it's okay to have some sugar. I mean, you don't want to overload with sugar. But if you're eating something that has a ton of plant-based protein, it has these whole grains, you know, some fruit, and it has a small amount of sugar, then to me, as long as you're eating a balanced diet, some sugar is okay.
In all of our granolas, typically you're looking at anywhere from 2 grams to 5 grams per serving of sugar, which is, if you look at it comparatively against what's on the national scene, is on the lower end of sugar content. Mm. So it's not as though it's an extensive ingredient that's in it.
We talked about granola bars briefly during the break, and you all said that making granola bars not necessarily on the table for either company just because of the amount of sugar involved in putting them together and keeping them together.
Well, yeah, it's one of the stickier ingredients that you can use. And it's not necessarily sugar in its refined form like you'd buy off the shelf in the supermarket, but rather things that are equivalent in your body to sugar. Brown rice syrup is a primary use as a binding agent. Mm-hmm. Honey is very similar in that fashion, where at room temperature, it's extremely sticky and it holds the bar together. Yeah. Also, most granola bars that you'll buy are cold pressed and they're not baked. So the sticky agents are especially important, whereas if you were to bake the granola bar, like a Nature Valley, for example,
yeah,
the act of baking will crystallize the entire bar together, and you won't need as many sweeteners in order to have it stay firm.
I would think that granola bars would be a good idea because everybody eats them. There must be big money to be made.
Absolutely.
It an expensive process?
Extremely.
I think it's hard to make.
Really?
It's hard to cut.
Yeah. There are only a handful of companies in the country that make it. And effectively everybody else, most of the granola bars that you'll see on store shelves aren't being made by the companies that are, you know, whose logos are on the front of the package. Rather, it's being co-manufactured in multi-million dollar facilities where they have the equipment that's being run for other brands in addition to their own.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so if I go to the farmer's market around the corner from me, I'm not likely to find any granola bars.
I don't know of any around here.
Really?
I don't think so.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. We talk granola today with Paul and Caroline Barrett of Our Daily Eats and Sandro Gerbini of Gatherer's Granola. All right, so let's try another granola here. This one is, now we've tried the Chipmunk's Choice. Mm-hmm. Now I see a trend here. Now this is Turtle Tracks. And this has chocolate, so this is going to win prizes.
Yep, that's dark chocolate, pecans, cranberries, and cinnamon.
Mm.
That's my personal favorite as a snack food. This is one of our varieties that does not have any refined cane sugar in it. It's sweetened using organic honey and organic brown rice syrup. Again, it still has a glycemic impact, so your blood sugar will go up.
Yeah.
Not as quickly as with refined sugar, but the whole mission of Gatherer's Granola is to make the tastiest granola possible. Almost every other company on the market, all the big ones at least, General Mills, Kellogg's brands, they advertise themselves with many different health claims in the front. But what they really miss the boat on is making something that's palatable. I frankly cannot eat it. By comparison, this is at the opposite end of the spectrum. All of our claims are about flavor.
But there's health benefits as well.
Certainly. It's the same, you know, it's the same. The ingredients are effectively the same sort of things. The difference is that it's being made with a lot more attention to detail. The recipes start off being a lot more flavorful, and the texture is really excellent.
All right, this is from the one I'm about to try here is from Our Daily Eats, and this is a gluten-free offering.
Yes, it is, Ray.
All right, what do you got here?
So this is actually a really interesting kind of a side story here. We were going along, and you know, we periodically, you know, part of our process is just cold calling on different folks, and ended up having a conversation with Chobani Yogurt, as we all well know them, in here in New York State, down in Norwich. They are in the process of developing a cafe concept, and asked us to do a custom granola for them. And this is a custom product that we ended up doing for Chobani, and has been used, you know, since they opened their facility down in New York City. And we decided to, you know, that it was a great one, and we were going to do it ourselves. And it's a really simple one. It's just got olive oil, gluten-free oats, honey, and sea salt.
And it's delicious.
And it is. You know, and it's one of those things where people think, oh, you know, it's got to have all sorts of stuff in it. And the funny thing that he said to us when we talked about starting to have some discussions was, you know, we sent him down all our products and we kind of explained what we did. And we had these unique flavor profiles and all sorts of great ingredients. And the guy turns to me, he says, well, do you do plain granola? And I said, well, what do you mean by plain granola? And he had a discussion, and this is what they wanted.
They wanted plain granola. And a lot of people do. A lot of people don't want all this stuff.
Right.
That's what they say.
Gluten-free oats.
Yes.
This is, how are they different from regular oats, aside from not having gluten? But, I mean, is this a common thing?
Well, the difference in the oats is that a regular rolled oat, like what we would use in our other granolas, is processed in a place that processes wheat.
Right.
So for someone who is gluten intolerant in any way, there might be a trace piece of wheat on those oats. So they can't eat that. But gluten-free oats are processed in a production facility that processes only oats.
Okay, so it's the oats are the same. It's just how you process them.
That's
and
right.
where they're
That's
grown matters,
me.
Too. One of the things that the gluten intolerance group, which does all the certifying for gluten-free flavors,
mm-hmm.
they mandate that any oat that is going to be called certified gluten-free be grown in a field that has lain fallow, if it ever produced wheat in the past, for a certain number of years prior to making their gluten-free oat. So they don't want any volunteers, what they're called in the agricultural industry, where you have a perennial of, let's say, a wheat or barley or something that has gluten in it, will grow in the same field where the oats are now being grown.
Ah.
And the combine harvester doesn't care if it's barley or wheat or oats. It's not going to discriminate. So that will show up in the final product, and you'll have a hot spot in what would otherwise be a gluten-free item.
So trace amounts.
Trace amounts still count.
And so, Sandro, your Turtle Tracks is gluten-free.
Yeah, we have a line of three certified gluten-free items.
Then that was delicious, too.
Thanks.
So, let's see. Now, I see everything organic here from you at Gatherers.
Actually, no.
No?
Some ingredients are organic, others are not.
Does it matter from a taste profile?
From taste, not at all. In some cases, you will find that an organic variety is tastier simply because the manufacturer is doing a better job. The real question is it making a health impact? And what's the impact on price? So buying an organic pecan, for example, is really astronomically expensive when compared to the normally astronomically expensive pecans. And so, frankly speaking, we cannot affordably buy any organic nuts and sell them in the same volume per batch that we would to our customers. And so we consciously make the choice to instead use a conventionally grown almond, pecan, pistachio, because in order to use them in the amounts that we desire and have it be a major flavor ingredient in a granola, none of our customers are willing to afford the $15 a bag it would cost in order to make a fully organic product.
Overhead would be fairly high. Mm-hmm. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. We talk granola on a Food Friday, and the stuff I have learned already. 1-800-348-2551. Paul and Caroline, which of these is your favorite of your own work?
Oh, that's like asking me to pick one of my children.
Well, go ahead. Pick a child, too, while we're at it.
Well, currently, I'm eating a lot of O'Honey granola. I like O'Honey granola because of its simplicity.
Yeah.
And little berries, O'Honey granola, some yogurt. That's
so current. You're adding berries?
I'll add fresh berries.
Too plain for you, is it?
Fresh berries.
Ah, I see. All right, let me try some of that lemon coconut granola.
Lemon coconut.
It's right in front
of me. This one's lemon coconut. So this is almonds, pumpkin seeds, and dates.
Oh, okay.
And that has organic coconut, and it's different.
Mm. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that might be my favorite of the three I've tried so far. Delicious. Sorry about the chewing on the microphone here. I'll close the mic for a second. Talk amongst yourselves. Well, that is delicious. Well, all right. We're having a lot of fun here today talking granola. How do you go about picking the ingredients? Do one of you, Paul or Caroline, go out and say, I'm going to get the oats? Or do you have somebody who does that for you?
So, we have a unique partnership. We're a husband and wife.
Yeah.
Team.
There must be some good fights there, too, huh?
You know, listen, you have to stay on your side of the fence, Ray. It's very important. You learn that early on.
Yes.
And, when we started this company, we talked about that. We're actually just had our 10th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
And growing the company over 10 years has really been kind of a learning experience for both of us as far as divvying up tasks and figuring out who is, more proficient or more skilled at doing a certain area. And so Caroline really handles a lot of the production, all of the, flavor development, the product profiles, et cetera. And I handle kind of the back end. I do a lot of the sales. I do all the, you know, the accounting, the paperwork, staff, et cetera. And it's been a really great partnership. As a matter of fact, not only is this our 10th year in business, but today is also our 16th wedding anniversary.
Wow. I don't know if you were going to remember.
And you're celebrating it here.
We are.
Well, that's
we are.
Pathetic.
I was waiting to see who was going to bring it up first, you know, because usually we forget it.
We have forgotten in the past.
Yeah.
16 years. Well, that's great. And 10 years as business partners, that's even more impressive. How many more people work for you?
We have a staff of 6 people that currently work for us, and we have some folks that do sales, we have some folks that do production, we have some folks that do farmers markets, et cetera.
And Sandro, how big is the operation at Gatherers Granola?
Well, last year we sold just over 50,000 pounds of granola.
By 10-ounce and 11-ounce bags. That's quite
also,
a bit.
Also some small ones. So we have a little line of 2.5-ounce bags that will actually be available in all the Stewart stores on the 20th of this month.
Oh, great.
So we have 7 full-time employees right now, including myself.
Okay, so similar size operations. Well. Mm-hmm. Are you cutthroat competitors? Have you ever met before?
We've met lots of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so there's, I mean, you don't hate each other?
You know, I've always felt like there's room for both of us. Obviously there is, because we both have been here for so long and flourished.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I think that what we're really competing with is more of the national competitors who they're making tangibly inferior products, and they've been doing it for a long while. There's a great deal of market that they control that we would like to have a part of. And the opportunity for us, rather than focusing on competing with one another, is rather to take a market share away from the biggest players. Where, you know, customers could instead buy something that's a lot tastier and, frankly, better for them.
When you say tangibly inferior product, some of this is subjective, right? You don't like the taste of some of the commercially available, widely available.
That's true. But if you were, for example, to deconstruct the granola and look at, by weight, the ingredients that are going in, if they claim to have pecans in their flavor and you put the pecan flavor that Gatherers makes next to it, for example, you will have upwards of 50% more pecans than one of Gatherers. And we're more expensive. We don't have the buying power that they do. But also, we're intentionally making a premium product.
Let's go back to the phones. And Ben in Granby, Massachusetts. Ben, you're on.
Hi. I'm wondering what the difference is between muesli and granola. Muesli, my understanding is it's largely not baked. It's raw. Granola is baked. Is there a health difference? Perhaps you could elaborate.
Okay. Hang in there, Ben.
Absolutely. I'll answer that, because we actually make 2 muesli products as well as our granolas. I always call muesli granola's cousin because they're very similar. It's made from oats, nuts, fruit, and it just has no oil, no sugar, no salt, and it's not baked.
So there's really not much taste to it.
Well, it's a lot of chewing.
Ah, well, that's good.
And you can treat it like oatmeal.
You can. Most people cook it. Traditionally, muesli, you would add it to milk or yogurt, and you'd put it in the refrigerator on the counter for an hour or so, and it soaks up, and it gets kind of porridgey. Today, I think people put it on top of yogurt and, you know, stir it in and just eat it like
intentionally?
That.
Intentionally?
What do you mean? You have to do something. Otherwise, there's not much taste, is there?
Well, our muesli, we have 2 flavors. One is made with cinnamon and a little bit of orange peel. It has pecans, almonds, coconut, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, ground flax. So it's the flavor, but it's not flavor from sugar and salt.
Okay.
So.
Do you have a follow-up, Ben?
Well, is it more healthy? Is muesli more healthy than granola?
Well, go ahead.
Well, maybe I'll stop there.
Okay.
Well, it will have less sugar and less oil in it, but oil is not necessarily bad for you.
Well, the fact that it's not cooked, is that what you're driving at, Ben?
Well, I think it mainly comes down to the sweeteners, I believe.
Not cooked and less sugar.
It does. I mean, it depends on where you're getting your calories from. You're either getting you get your calories in a regular granola. You get it from the nuts and the seeds and the fruit and the sugar and some of the oil. But in muesli, your calories are coming from just the nuts and the fruit. So.
But something that's not cooked, are the nutrients perhaps more preserved?
Okay.
Well, there are people that would tell you that eating raw products, you're preserving the enzymes. You know, it's better for you that way. you know, I think it's like I go back to it's the balance thing. Mm. I think it's good to eat some raw product, some raw things. I think it's okay to eat some cooked things too.
All right, Ben, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Are there different health rules as far as the state goes when you are preparing muesli as compared to granola?
Well, we couldn't produce muesli out of our house. You have to be in a certified kitchen.
Well, to do any products, you have to be in a certified kitchen. But as far as the regulations, Ray, with making any product, you know, it's about hygiene of the facility. It's
yeah.
about properly washing and desanitizing your equipment. It's about personal hygiene of the employees, storage of the products, you know, those types of things. So the standards all fall the same with respect to that. That question.
We talk today with Paul and Caroline Barrett of Our Daily Eats and Sandro Gerbini of Gatherers Granola. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Sundog Solar at Solaqua Power and Art, Chatham, New York. Making power from sunlight, solar electric and solar hot water sales and leasing, spray foam and cellulose insulation, spin your meter backwards, sundogsolar.net. Manny's TV and Appliances, family owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com. And Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Hey, it's a Food Friday. Granola, more than I ever knew before. And I'm likely to forget it by later in the day. But still, right now, I know it. Sandro Gerbini is here from Gatherers Granola and Paul and Caroline Barrett of Our Daily Eats. And we've tried some good stuff today. Both of you, all three of you, are in businesses that are relatively small by comparison, 6-7 employees. In the break, Paul, we talked a little bit about the future. And as far as personal ambitions go, I mean, you started this, Caroline, in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. How far do you want to go? How big do you want to get?
Well, I don't want to be so big as it's impersonal. I love doing this and supporting our family, and I love, you know, working for ourselves, and you know, it's I don't know, it's hard to say. I'm not the
money
person.
Do you argue about this?
You know, we talked about dividing up the jobs. I'm the one who like just thinks of great flavors and spends all the money, but Paul's the one that thinks about it.
What do you want to do?
Keeping in mind that it's our anniversary.
Yes,
today,
exactly.
So I want to be sensitive. I want to be sensitive.
Right.
So, you know, I think that you know, growth is an interesting thing, Ray. I think that, as I mentioned to you off air, you know, that the food business is really a nickels and dimes business from a manufacturing perspective. And what I mean by that is that as you grow your business, it's easy to get it to a certain point, doing some farmers markets, picking up some local retailers.
Yeah.
But in order to really be able to make some money and be successful in the business, you really kind of have to begin to get into the seven figures and above to, you know, achieve the types of scales, economies of scales when purchasing product, when actually manufacturing the ingredients, et cetera. And so, you know, really our goal is to, you know, we started out locally, we kind of have grown regionally. But we've continued to expand nationally as well. And that's an expensive endeavor to get into, because what you get into is the discussion of distribution of your product. And you get into, you know, different distributors have, you know, fees associated with setting up with them. You then begin to get into having to give away product, because really that's the best way to do it. I mean, you know, you can run sales all day long. You can put a pretty picture of yourself on the bag if you want. But at the end of the day, when the consumer is walking through that grocery store with millions of items in front of them.
Yeah.
They really need to taste it. They want to be able to experience the product because, you know, our money is very valuable to us and we have to be able to be sensitive to consumers about that. And so, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort to kind of grow the business. But I think if you're thoughtful, you work hard at it and you have a good product, you can be successful and grow the business nationally.
But at some point, and Sandra, I'll let you jump in here as well. At some point, if you continue to grow, won't quality have to suffer to some extent? Because overhead then, to make a product as good as what you are making now, doesn't it get prohibitively expensive if you have now nationwide distribution of large quantities?
I don't believe so. If anything, the capabilities that you have to make an even better product exist. The only reason that perception exists in the food business is because the larger companies, which really don't do much by way of innovation, their MO is to watch the market, look for a new upstart competitor that makes a good product, buy it when it's hitting that part of their growth curve where there's a lot of profit in the future, and then dramatically cut costs the second they acquire the company. One of our closest competitors, the biggest one in the industry, is called Bear Naked. And if you ask any longtime Bear Naked fan that used to eat it back when it was an independent company, they will uniformly tell you, this used to be a phenomenal product. It's changed dramatically.
Well, philosophically, if you either of your companies get to the point where it hits that radar screen of the big companies and they come out with a big checkbook and say, hey, listen, we want this, what do you do?
That entirely depends on that check.
Ah, so you have a price. Well done. How about you guys?
You know, I think for us, Ray, certainly I think that, you know, we would be lying to folks to say that at some point if somebody approached us, we wouldn't be interested. But, you know, as Caroline said, it's really about us connecting with the products and, more importantly, connecting with our customers. You know, we've had some really loyal folks over the years who have kind of, you know, helped us grow. And it's important to connect with that and be in touch with them. Once we kind of lose that ability to kind of do that, I think that's when it will be really difficult to kind of continue on.
You lose some of the fun and the immediate satisfaction.
Absolutely.
All right, speaking of satisfaction, let's go to the phones, and it's Rolf in Phoenicia. Rolf.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Question I have, actually it's two questions. The first one is how I make granola at home, you know, on a regular basis, and it's never as crunchy or as crispy as the, you know, store-bought granola that I purchased. And how can I obtain that at home?
What are you using as far as oils are concerned?
Using safflower oil.
Okay. And can you give me a rough idea of how many cups of oats you're using?
Well, I make a huge batch, so it's like 16 cups of oats, and I think it's like 2 cups of safflower oil.
Okay.
And then I use maple syrup as the sweetener. You know,
sure, sure. There's no reason that can't be crispy. It's going to come down to, because your ratios sound about right, it's going to come down to what your baking temperature is. And
350.
So I personally back it off. I think 350 is on the upper end of what you should bake granola at. You can really,
okay.
I've seen companies baking as low as 215, but that's really controlled drying and not really baking. Mm. Give it a shot around the, you know, the higher 200 mark, and give it 3 or 4 stirs during the baking cycle over about an hour, and tell me how that comes out.
Okay, great. I'll give that a shot. Second question is, you know, some of the things you've mentioned sound absolutely delicious, and I'd love to get recipes if it's possible, like your Thai chili peanuts.
Sure, yeah. So I know that on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ggranola, I'm sure that you can find similar things on our Daily Eats. We have all of our recipes. We made a recipe ebook. We made those available. There are about between 8 and 10 recipes in there. Everything from salads to the more eclectic, the use like the chicken satay. We've done fried squash blossoms with granola coating. Lots of different varieties of things you could do.
The Thai chili peanuts from our Daily Eats, however, you can buy them in the store. And I
I don't know if they're available down in the Kingston area or the, you know, Phoenicia area.
This particular bag may not leave the studio, however.
Well, so. And I think that it would go for both of us. You could buy all of our products online. Mm-hmm. You can find our website at ourdailyeats.com, and
yeah.
You could buy 6 bags of Thai chili peanuts at a time.
All right. Rolf, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Gordon in Poughkeepsie. Gordon, you're on.
Hi. My questions were, I'm wondering if you deal with any CSAs, if you, I think you've answered some of the question about buying locally, and I'm just wondering if there's any issues with, like, the FDA with your quality control of the product that you get, and if you have any competition from the larger, you know, organization or companies.
Okay.
And you mentioned, yeah.
Well, we try to buy local ingredients as often as we can. We find that working with local producers makes a dramatic difference on the type of quality you can get. So my peanut butter in one of my flavors comes from a little company in Albany called the Peanut Principle. And the Peanut Principle, you know, they will ensure that the amount that their peanut butter is ground, you know, exactly what the consistency of it is or how darkly roasted the peanuts are, that's exactly to our specifications. What's really difficult is to find some of the larger commodity ingredients, like the oats, for example, locally sourced. There are plenty of oats being grown in New York State, and we'd love to use them. The problem is that there are very few facilities that mill the oats. And so we have difficulty finding a, for example, New York State oat that isn't being processed in, let's say, Pennsylvania or Alberta, and being mixed in with all the other oats from all over North America. And it's very hard to get a specifically local product when you're buying something like oats or something like a sweetener.
And even, you know, something like oats, you know, like Sandra said, you can find the oats, but you're doubling the cost at least when you're buying oats. I mean, you're changing the cost of the product that you're making twofold.
So the oats in general, I mean, are oats can, as long as they're decent quality, you can make your granola with any oats? Or do you have to have specific flavor profiles for the oats?
Well, I don't know about flavor profiles, but you need rolled oats. You need to start with thick rolled oats. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the oats, each oat has a number. So we
really?
Generally, we so the numbers differentiate exactly how thick it is. Gatherers primarily uses like a number 5 oat, for example. There are different companies that use a quick roll, which is a very, very thin oat. And that makes a difference for the mouthfeel, what the texture is when you're eating it.
Hey, Gordon, thanks a lot for the call. By the way, this rosemary and maple mix, nut mix, is amazing. This is our Daily Eats, roasted slightly sweet nut mix. And who came up with this one? You come up with this one, Caroline?
Mm-hmm. That's a classic cocktail nut.
That's
like
so
a,
good.
You know, 5 o'clock martini nut right there.
So when did you invent that one?
You know, it was pretty soon. Like, the first nut that we made was a spicy nut,
yeah.
And it didn't take me long just selling just that to realize not everybody wants spicy nuts.
Well, that's not very sweet. I mean, you have a certain amount of, I don't know, salt to it.
Yeah.
It's
sweet
a complex
and savory.
Taste. Yeah, it's
sweet
very
and savory.
Nice. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. The granola market and the market for what you people do, when are you going to hit saturation in this market? Have you seen growth every year?
We have. You know, have been very fortunate year over year to experience growth. I think that, you know, as far as market saturation, I think, you know, we certainly have a way to go because we're, you know, regionally based in growing from there. You know, one of the things that we've been very fortunate with doing, Ray, and that's partly out of the great recipes that Caroline has brought to us, but it's also the packaging and the diversity of our product line is not only have we kind of focused on grocery stores, but we've been very fortunate and done a lot of grab-and-go work. So you'll find our products in Logan, in New York City airports, Dulles, et cetera. We also do a lot of...
How'd you get that contract for Dulles Airport?
You know, actually walking through the airport and just walked up to one of these places. And, you know, if you just kind of stick your hand out there and don't be afraid for a no, you'll be surprised what kind of happens.
So you have to be able to handle rejection.
You have to. You have to embrace rejection.
Ah.
Actually.
That's one of the drawbacks of salesmen. Let's go to Lynn in Woodstock. Lynn.
Yeah, hi. My question is for the home granola maker. What's a good source for buying nuts?
Your local co-op.
Yeah, buy them in bulk. Bulk is always the cheapest way.
Mm-hmm.
Shop
definitely
the sales
bulk.
And buy bulk.
There are a lot of different places you could buy them. I know that online, we've looked at 3 or 4 different sources. Right now, we're working directly with a few of our growers, which is the best and the ideal scenario. And in
right.
some cases, you'll find a grower online. Let's say in Texas or California, that's willing to work with somebody that's only buying a small quantity. It's some of them might consider it a waste of their time, but others, you know, they'll personally tell you. They'll advise you as to what size or what type of almond you need, of which there are a surprising number to choose from. There are a few websites. If you go on and type in bulk nuts into Google, you will find...
I'm sure you'll find some interesting things.
Be careful with that search, actually. To think of it.
Well, good luck, Lynn. I guess the co-op might be a good spot to start. Let's go to Mary in East Hampton. Mary, you're on.
Hi, I'm curious about whether or not either company is interested in doing sprout seeds. I'm having a granola now that's sprouted organic buckwheat, which is really delicious.
You're breaking up a little bit, Mary, so give us the beginning of that sentence again.
Is either company thinking about working with sprouted buckwheat groats, for example, or seeds?
Well, Gatherers has not yet worked with any sprouted seeds. It's on our radar. At the moment, we have 6 different varieties, and we're hesitant to come out with any more in the immediate future. But it's on our radar for future products we'll work on.
What's the advantage of using a sprouted seed?
It's more digestible, and it's kind of nice and crunchy and kind of tasty.
You know, we also are looking at different grains, and but we're pretty full up on product too at the moment. So.
All right, that's a great
question.
But
that's a good idea.
Thank you.
All right, Mary, thanks a lot. All right, Sandro, what is the granola I just tried? It's excellent.
That was Badger's Best. That is one of our 2 nut-free varieties. That is dark chocolate, raw shredded coconut, and toasted quinoa flakes.
Really nice.
That's certified, gluten-free, and non-GMO project verified.
All right. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And I had the list of all the recipes. Here we go. Cheesecake with squirrel baked crust. Nice idea. Using a little granola, finely ground, on the cheesecake. What sort of recipes have you come up with in your home kitchen that your kids will eat, Caroline?
Well, we do a lot of pies with granola.
Crust?
Crumb topping.
Oh, nice.
You know, like Oh Honey. We do Oh Honey, mixed with butter and brown sugar and put that on the top.
Sounds
and
pretty good. You know, I live in the neighborhood. Just saying.
It's nice because the granola has just a little bit of sea salt in it, so it gives it just a tiny bit of salt to balance the sweet and fruit and the apples. I do have a lot of people that tell me that they buy granola and put it into shakes. So they're grinding it up and putting it into smoothies.
Yeah.
Just to make something to take with
them.
Have
you tried that?
That's what I did this morning.
You did that today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you must really have to grind it up if you're going to drink it.
Well,
honestly, not. No, no. Just you put it into a normal food processor or blender with enough liquid ingredients, and everything pretty much becomes drinkable.
Oh, that's too much roughage, though, right? I mean, you got to hit a limit at some point. We do have time for at least one more call here. Let's go to Jennifer in Florida, New York. Jennifer, you're on. Oh, Jennifer, can you turn your radio? Can you turn your radio down just a little bit?
Is that better?
Yep. Go ahead.
Hi. I travel a lot. My sister as well, and we find muesli on the buffets. In the restaurants at breakfast, and we've both tried to recreate it at home, and we just can't seem to do it. I was wondering if you had the recipe or could tell me how to make it at home.
Yeah, you can visit ourdailyeats.com and you can purchase it right there.
Oh, boy, you can't say that.
I'm kidding.
You can't say that.
I'm kidding.
He's joking.
I'm kidding.
He's joking.
No, you know, there's a lot of great recipes online. It really comes down to the types of things that you like to add into your muesli. So, you know, do you like coconut? Do you like nuts? Do you like berries? Do you like seeds? You know, as Caroline mentioned, you know, we use some different spices as far as cinnamon and orange peels, you know, those types of things to help, you know, add some flavor and variety into the muesli. Because, as Ray pointed out, it can be considered bland.
A little bland.
A little bland.
What, yeah. So, what is not palatable to you about your muesli?
I have the oats and the nuts and the flavorings, and then I add milk to it, and then I mix it real well. I put it in the refrigerator and let it sit overnight, but it just doesn't taste like when you get it at the hotel. We're thinking maybe they mix in half and half. What's the difference? I mean, it tastes so good. Maybe it's because I'm on vacation.
Everything tastes better. Yeah, we only have about 20 seconds, so go ahead. I'll let you guys have the last word here.
Yeah, no, you know, I would say think about adding some, you know, some different spices as far as cinnamon or, you know, maybe try toasting and salting your nuts first.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call, Jennifer. And thank you all for listening. Thanks to our guests, Sandro Gerbini, Caroline Barrett, and Paul Barrett. A lot of fun today, a lot of good food. Thank you for joining us on Food Friday. Support comes from Terrapin Red Bistro, serving mac and cheese, quesadillas, natural beef burgers, tapas, original cocktails, craft beer, and local wine, lunch, dinner, and late night, terrapinrestaurant.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their new website with more information about membership grants and loans so our past has a future, preservenys.org. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to Zach Granola Boy Malloy at the controls. Your phones were answered by Barb King, our producer, Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, I'm Ray Graff. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week. Alan will be in the host chair. It's a Medical Monday. Until then, have a great weekend. Stay tuned now for a news update.